It's wonderful to sit here in this soft, warm morning with the rain. What a blessing. So I'm going to start today with a case from the Gateless Barrier, which you will all know backwards. An instructive case. As a young monk, Matsu trained at the monastery with Nan Wei, one of several hundred monks, lost in the crowd, unknown to his teacher. A senior monk noticed his diligence, however, and mentioned him to Nan Wei. And the old teacher sought him out. He found him in the Zendo, doing Zazen by himself. Nan Wei said, "Virtuous one, what is your purpose in doing Zazen?" Matsu said, "I seek to become a Buddha." Nan Wei then picked up a tile and started polishing it on a rock. After a while, Matsu said, "What are you doing?" And Nan Wei said, "Oh, I'm polishing this roofing tile to make a mirror." Matsu said, "How can you make a mirror by polishing a tile?" To which Nan Wei responded, "How can you become a Buddha by doing Zazen?" Matsu said, "How so?" And Nan Wei said, "When you're driving a cart, if it stops moving, do you whip the cart or the ox?" Matsu was silent. Nan Wei said, "If you practice sitting Zazen, you practice sitting Buddha. If you practice sitting Zen, you will know that Zen is not about sitting or lying down." And he then said, "In the practice of sitting Buddha, the Buddha has no fixed form." And I'd like to read Dogen's comment on this case. He said, "What Nan Wei meant is that Zazen is Zazen, and it is not limited to sitting or lying down. This teaching has been transmitted person to person. Thus, boundless sitting and lying down are the self. When you reflect on your life activities, are they intimate with Zazen or remote from it? Is there enlightenment in Zazen or is there delusion?" Now, I'm not going to say any more about the case directly, but I'm going to just circle round to the question that Nan Wei asked and really pull that apart a little bit. And the question was, do you cherish a purpose in your Zazen? And if your friends ask that same question as Nan Wei did, what is your purpose in doing all that Zen stuff? It can feel somewhat uncomfortable. And if you look a little vague and can't sort of spring up with an answer immediately, there's often a follow-up question, which is sometimes like, but what does it do for you? Does it make you calm? Does it make you happy? Are you doing it for a better rebirth? A lot of people do feel that's what Buddhists are doing. They're really, whatever is being done is done for a better rebirth. So that question comes up sometimes as well. But what is interesting, if you look at that question closely, there's an implication that Zen is a technique with a purpose, a practice with something as its goal, done as a means to an end. Why else would anybody else, why would you do Zazen if there was no purpose? Meditation, like hundreds of years have passed and the West has finally sort of pulled it out of, you know, the Eastern cupboard and is now, it's very commonly promoted as an aid to stress reduction, to lower blood pressure. It's used in therapy. All sorts of wonderful uses are coming through. It's even better than some people think it's better than a pill. So then, why does answering, yes, it makes me calm, somehow feel and set, it feels off the mark? It just doesn't feel, that's what, is that why it does Zazen? Is it to make me feel calm? Is that it? That's very reduced. It's a very small part. But going back to this matter of a purpose, our lives, our everyday lives, are completely organised around purpose, whether we're purposing on a macro scale, doing good for others, trying to change something that's disastrous at the moment in our culture, advancing in our profession, or purposes on a lovely little micro scale, very achievable, like remembering to buy the milk, or just getting from A to B, feeling, now I'm here, I needed to get there, that's great. These are little purposes, and there are bigger purposes, of course, all sorts of purposes. And of course, we judge how we're doing in our purposeful lives. So the question is, what is your Zazen organised around? And how would you respond to that sort of question? Just wait for that friendly jet to fly apart. I come in a lot on a Sunday. Good day to come home. So you might say, I might say, that my Zazen is organised around getting somewhere peaceful or gaining some insight. And while you're saying that, you might even know that you're still running on adrenaline. That's what powers you in your life. That's what charges you up. You're rarely calm. You're certainly rarely patient. Really, a lot of the time you feel like a Zen failure because you're doing Zazen for this outcome, and so far nothing much seems to have changed. Or you might perhaps say, I practice Zen to get enlightened. Perhaps some might say that there's actually no point to sitting beyond the actual act of sitting itself. This will actually trigger another question, probably. Clearly, there's no one answer. Each of us will make our own attempt to explain why we persist in doing Zazen to our friend, or else try and change the subject. The 13th century Zen master Ehei Dogen said that Zazen is not a means to an end, not a technique for realisation, but that practice and realisation are inseparably one and the same. And I was very pleased to find recently the words of a Soto teacher who's just recently died, called Sawaki Roshi, who said that Zen, when asked about this, he said, Zen is wonderfully useless. I thought, wow, that's great. And like countless Zen teachers before him, he also particularly discourages any ideas about gaining something or seeking special experiences or states of consciousness. Sawaki's wonderfully useless sets Zazen apart from pretty well everything we do in our lives. Dogen says, Zazen is not a meditation technique. It is simply the Dharma gate of joyful ease. It is practicing the realization of the boundless Dharma way. Here, the open mystery manifests, and there are no more traps and snares for you to get caught in. Right here, it is eternally full and serene. If you search elsewhere, you cannot see it. You cannot grasp it. You cannot reject it. In the midst of not gaining, in that condition, you gain it, promises Yung Chi's Shodoka, the Song of Enlightenment we recite in Sesshin. Getting back to the traps and snares, which Dogen says, once the open mystery manifests, there are no more traps and snares. There are many. I mean, you know, we all know what our own particular ones are, but some of the most common ones are trying to control the production of thought. Cannot be done. Trying to experience something you've heard about, or read online, you know, this is what happens, da-da-da-da, I want to get that. Trying to create something, trying to make things turn out the way you want them to. All these sort of traps and snares in Zazen. But Zazen itself, from the moment of our first experience of instruction, which is for most of us is along the lines of just this breath, just this count, is no other than the way itself. the way of being in the world in which everything we encounter is fully and completely itself, not merely a means to an end, not merely a step on the path to somewhere else. Living this opens the door to timelessness and joy. Hakuin's Dharma heir, Tore Zenji, said it as we said this morning, each particle of matter, each moment, is no other than the Tathagata's inexpressible radiance. How radical. Nothing is excluded. Nothing is put into brackets, as boring, as irrelevant, as counter to what I need at this moment. Everything, every particle of matter, every moment. Nothing is suffered, nothing is endured. We unite with each breath, each moment, each action. Dogen calls this the Genjo Koan, actualization in everyday life. And if Zazen is truly useless, the first moment we do it, just as Dogen says, we've entered into a totally different realm. We are no longer in the world of means and ends, of progress and goals. What we're doing can't be justified by something outside of itself, by what it's going to get us or where it's going to take us. We just sit. And though it's difficult and counterintuitive to step outside means to an end thinking, gaining thinking, goal-oriented thinking, even five-year plan thinking, the moment we sit down to do Zazen, we are useless. What we're doing has no point outside of itself, outside of that moment itself. We just are. We just sit. And in the very act of sitting, we actualize the completeness of the act itself. We actualize our own full completeness as useless human beings, useless Buddhas. I can remember our neighbour, dear neighbour at Gorik's Run, who's since died, sadly. We're having some sort of, I think a planning issue arose, and she said to one of the Sangha members, "You're useless. You do nothing but sit on your bottoms." And she's right. That's right. A daily Zazen practice, weekly group Zazen, monthly Zazen Kai, and seasonal Sesshin. These are all our formal practice opportunities. And then there's the 24/7 of our own precious particular lives. And I'm going to just read a little bit more from Sawaki Roshi. "You can't even trade a single fart with the guy next door. Each and every one of us has to live out their own life. Don't waste time thinking about who's most talented. The eyes don't say, 'Sure, we're lower, but we see more.' The eyebrows don't reply, 'Sure, we don't see anything, but we're higher up.' Living out the Buddha Dharma means fulfilling your function completely without knowing that you're doing it. A mountain doesn't know it's tall. The sea doesn't know it's wide and deep. Each and everything in the universe is active without knowing it. The birds singing and the flowers' laughter appears naturally, completely independent from the person sitting in Zazen at the foot of the cliff. The bird doesn't sing in honour of the person in Zazen. The flower doesn't blossom to amaze the person with her beauty. In exactly the same way, the person doesn't sit in Zazen in order to get Satori. Every single being simply realizes the self through the self for the self." Now, of course, Sangha friends notice how their practice of Zazen is actually benefiting their lives. A doctor recently talked about being in the middle of a very hectic medical environment, demands coming at her from all sides, an enormous schedule of patients to deal with, and how she can now, she says, "I now can take a deep breath and I stay present with this patient, this consultation, and I let go of the long list of things to do. I focus completely on that person in front of me." How much better for the patient, not to mention the doctor. And so this is her, what she's noticed since having taken up a daily practice of Zazen. This is important. A daily practice of Zazen is actually not just important, it's necessary. Another friend talked about experiencing sudden, out of the blue, intense existential angst, anxiety. So that his heart's pounding. He's really, really in a state. And remembering at that point to say a few lines that he remembers of self-acceptance and compassion. And the anxiety loses its intensity, stops shaking him like to the very bottom, and his life flows on. If we could have a lovely sharing meeting one day and talk about these wonderful gifts that arise. Not that these are the ones we want, but they just arise. They're gifts of the practice and gifts of the way. Being able to maintain focus, paying attention, accepting and embracing difficult emotions. These, as I said, were not loaded up as goals at the beginning. It's as our practice matures, as we do the practice, as we keep the precepts, if we're noticing maybe our lives are a little different. I'm not going to say what, how. It's up to you. It's each of us has a different response. Yes, and that's what the Buddha insisted on, doing the practice, keeping the precepts, and seeing how it works out in your life. And he said, don't take anything on just because I said it. Don't rely on hearsay or authority. Put no other's head above your own. About 1,200 years before Alan Watson, S. Allen, or MBSR, or any of these, you know, meditation for stress reduction, Master Wu Tzu jettisoned all the conventional religious practices that were going on, and really was a radical, had a radical sort of iconoclastic sort of view, and Wendy Adamek, who came here last year to give two talks, one of which was focused on Master Wu Tzu. She thought perhaps even the book that's written about him was written by a woman follower. Again, very, very radical at that time. And the book was walled up in a cave temple in the Gobi Desert. And it was discovered or rediscovered in 1900. And then had to wait for Wendy to translate it about 2 or 3 years ago. So he said many times that forms of practice, traditional forms at that time, like chanting sutras and doing all sorts of sort of particular practices, he thought and he said that they were misleading because they make something concrete out of something that is not even abstract. And here's a little fragment of some dialogue between Wu Zhu and Master Zhongjun. Wu Zhu is asked, Venerable, does a Chan master enter meditation? And Wu Zhu said, In meditation there is neither exiting nor entering. Master, does a Chan master enter samadhi? Wu Zhu said, not entering samadhi, not abiding in seated meditation. The mind is without gain and loss. At all times, everything is meditation. So he's predating Dogen by hundreds of years. Let's just go back to Dogen and hear him saying more about his radical ideas. That he says, when you first seek Dharma, you imagine you're far away from its environs. At the moment when Dharma is correctly transmitted, you are immediately your original self. Our original self, the self in the world that we have always been, is unceasingly revealing the Buddha way in every moment. Nothing was ever hidden. What we have found has been in plain sight all along. And he goes on, having received a human life, do not waste the passing moments. Form is like a dewdrop on the grass. Human life is like a flash of lightning, transient and illusory, gone in a moment. Honoured practitioners of Zen, please do not grope for the elephant or try to grasp the true dragon. Strike to hit the mark by directly pointing. Revere the mind that goes beyond study and it surpasses all things, all doings. Experience the enlightenment of the Buddhas, correctly inheriting the samadhi of the ancestors. Practice thusness continuously and you will be thus. The treasury will open of itself for you to use as you wish. And I'm going to roll this to an end with one of Sawaki Roshi's poems. Doing Zazen calmly in the dojo, putting aside all negative thoughts, obtaining nothing but a mind without desire, this joy beyond paradise. The world runs after fame, honour, beautiful clothes and comfort. But these pleasures are not true peace. You run and stay unsatisfied until death. Wear the kesa and black robe and practice Zazen. Concentrate with a single mind, whether still or in motion. See with your own eyes. Observe and know intimately the true aspect of all actions and all existence. Understand and know with a mind that is still. And if you're like this, your spiritual dimension will be beyond compare. And here I have a caveat. He's judging something. He's putting a comparison there. I'm sure he didn't mean it. I'm sure it's the translation. Anyway, no matter where we are or what we're doing, we're never more than a breath away from the home we share with the entire universe. So why do you practice Zazen? What is the purpose? Ah, I come home. That's the answer. Ah, it's coming home. We practice diligently, seeking no results. So let's get back to our useless practice and enjoy no goals, no purpose. Each moment, perfect, complete, just as it is. Thank you very much.